Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are with Dr. Beverly Yates, who is a licensed doctor of naturopathic medicine. She's a diabetes expert, and she used her background in MIT electrical engineering to create the Yates Protocol, an effective program for people who have diabetes to live the life they love. She's on a mission to help 3 million people heal from type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes. And today, we're going to be picking her brain and debunking all the myths about diabetes still persist in the space, even in this day and age. She's going to teach us how to take back control over our health. As an internationally recognized speaker and expert in the field of diabetes and heart disease, she's a published author. She's a regular TV guest on all the most important like news channels and stuff. We were really lucky to have her here today. Welcome, Dr. Beverly.
Hey, Sinclair. Thank you so much for having me here on your podcast. I'm thrilled to talk to you and your audience. Let's dig in and give people the revelation. Let's pull that curtain back.
Awesome. Let's do it. My audience is super sophisticated and highly educated. So I just want to jump right in with like, why haven't we fixed diabetes yet as a culture? What do you think is really still wrong with this conversation that we're having about it?
Let's just go there. No, really, let's just go there. Look, listen, girl, they are not trying to solve the problem. Right? Mm. This is why we haven't fixed it, because some people feel that it's more profitable to make money off of people who are ill. So they'll ride with them on the cascade, right? On the literally the blood sugar roller coaster up and down. As they go up and down, they'll finally they crash and burn, and then they're on to the next person. So much money is made off of managing the disease rather than caring for health and helping people restore and be able to achieve healthy levels of blood sugar regulation and go on and just live their life, a life full of energy, great sleep, a metabolism that works, wonderful moods, less stress, all those things, eating healthy foods because they actually want to, it tastes good, and it nourishes their bodies, right? Now that's profitable too, but in today's model, that's not what people are being told is gonna work. So they're told, oh, just take your meds and you know, that's it, without saying, hey, we still need to help you achieve as much as we possibly can that healthy blood sugar levels of control.
Well, I could not agree more. I think that our big pharma system is set up to create customers, not success stories.
Yeah.
I really want to unpack a little bit. What are the mechanisms that keep this lie going, that it's okay to have diabetes, that you're just stuck with it for the long term, that you only have a couple of options, that you need to be dependent on the medical system? Mm-hmm. What keeps that going?
There's a few dynamics, right? So the key ones that I see being an issue are, number one, people who have type 1 diabetes, which is autoimmune onset, have been so swamped and overwhelmed by the wild rise of people who have type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes that their concerns are completely just pushed off the table. Mm. They really don't get the attention and information and support that they so richly deserve, right? A lot of people with type 1 spend a lot of time explaining to people what's the difference between type 1 diabetes and any other kind, right? So that's one. The bigger piece of the pie, you know, so type 1 is about 5%, type 2, pre-diabetes, and type 3 diabetes are 95%, overwhelming, 19 out of 20 is that. That takes up the whole conversation around diabetes and blood sugar management. And in that, lifestyle plays a huge role for everyone with any kind of diabetes, including type 1. So if you've got diabetes, blood sugar-related concerns, it is all about lifestyle in order to have that healthy level of blood sugar range and stay there. Mm-hmm. It really is. So when I say lifestyle, what does that mean? Does that mean sit in a corner and think good thoughts? No, it's more than that, friends. So it's going to include nutrition. It's going to include stress management. It's going to include sleep. Oh my goodness, sleep does so much for us if we have good sleep. It's going to include regular exercise, including strength training and the timing for your meals. You know, meal timing matters in the case of blood sugar regulation.
Yeah. So when I was diagnosed with prediabetes, I got told two things. One, mm-hmm. it's your genes mm-hmm. that are predisposed you to this. And it's true, we had a history of diabetes in the family. But we also, hey, by the way, it's your fault. And I did not want to hear that.
Right. Who does?
And when you say lifestyle, I still think about that.
Yeah.
And I want to talk in a couple of different ways today about what we have control over that we're aware of and what we have control over that we're not aware of.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Right, right. There's a lot of things, a lot of myths, Sinclair. People aren't really educated in the world of medicine and healthcare around the things that they can do that will make the critical difference. So for instance, one of the things that is commonly put out there, oh, just tell everybody with diabetes to eat less and move more. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people doing that and it's not working for them. It's a more nuanced conversation. Not everyone who has diabetes is overeating, and not everyone who has diabetes lacks exercise. In fact, we know it requires attention to 3 to 5 lifestyle factors daily to really have success with this on a continual basis. And people are often asked to do things as if you were someone who, let's say, has been sedentary, they've been a couch potato. You tell them, oh, get ready, you're going to run a marathon 7 days from now, right? That's crazy. Recipe for disaster. And so people are often told, oh, here's what you need to do, with absolutely no framework, no structure on how to achieve that. What's going to really matter? I've found for most people with blood sugar issues, it's 1 or 2 very key things specific to them as a human being that will make the difference. It's literally where they need to plant their flag for blood sugar success. And otherwise, they're wasting their time with the other things because it's either too hard or it doesn't move the needle as much as it needs to.
So how will they figure out the 1 to 2 things for themselves? Is that lab testing or working with a practitioner? Like,
it's typically working with a practitioner. The lab testing is wonderful, but it's only giving you an information. It's a data point, right? It's like a health data trend, you know? So if you get your fasting blood sugars, your morning blood sugars, that's a great way to start. And if you get your hemoglobin A1C, you know, get A1C tested, have it done regularly. If it hasn't been done, anyone listening, if you aren't already being tested with your fasting morning blood sugars, fasting glucose, your A1C number, if this isn't a standard part of your checkups or testing that you do or that you have a provider do, or you just get labs now online, thank God people have direct access to this now. They don't have to go through a doctor. I think that's so empowering. You should be checking that stuff every 90 days, quarterly, particularly those of you who are business people, and you know you do stuff quarterly, right? You anchor it that way. You need to check in on your health because your blood sugar regulation can start to change and change quickly. These problems start over a period of years. They don't typically happen overnight unless there's been a big trauma or an accident, an adverse reaction to medicines, or surgery. Those three can cause a big shift in blood sugar immediately. Everything else takes months and years to help happen.
Now, why is that? Let's just sit there for a second. Why are those three things an on-ramp to serious blood sugar dysregulation?
For many of us, our ability to compensate when life is unkind is compromised. A lot of us these days are really stressed, and a lot of us these days are not sleeping well. These are usually the precursors, the setups to having a problem with blood sugar regulation. Even if you are eating well, and even if you are exercising, it might not be enough in the face of today's firestorm, I would say, of events that unfurl on a regular basis. So many people feel like they're knocked off their center, knocked off their emotional center. They don't sleep well, so their mind and their soul don't really reset the way they ought to. The gut doesn't reset, the microbiome's a mess. All these factors come in. Of course, they don't feel well, and blood sugar can be affected. People have maybe mood problems. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be really anxious, they might be irritable, they may feel depressed. These two have blood sugar interactions and can be often an early warning sign. Hey, you're losing blood sugar control.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to circle back to something that you said a minute ago. You talked about 3 to 5 lifestyle factors. Mm-hmm. What are those 3 to 5 lifestyle factors?
Nutrition is the bullseye of the target. Let me say that again. Nutrition is the bullseye of the target. What you're eating, what's on your fork, what's on your plate, what's on your spoon matters a whole lot in terms of setting you up to win or to struggle when it comes to blood sugar levels, right? So that's number one. It's not the only factor, though. Within nutrition, you know, you have to look at how much you're eating every day in the way of leafy green vegetables. Vegetables are great. How many of them are leafy green vegetables? Let me just say that again. Other vegetables have lots of nutrients to offer. Are your foods nutrient dense or are they nutrient poor? Do they strip you of nutrients? Do the foods that you eat nourish you, or do they leave you depleted? Do they give you good, even energy to burn throughout the day? Or does it cause you to have a big spike to go woo for 15 minutes or so? And then 30 minutes later, you're crashed and unable to function for the next 2 or 3 hours, right? Like the face plant on the desk that happens for many people, particularly after lunch, maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, there's a lot of really good clues we get. So that's one category of lifestyles. We'll start there. The next ones would be sleep. And I'm prioritizing that over some other things because sleep is foundational. You know, if you've ever been a child, we've all been children, right? Everybody listening, we've all been a kid. You know, what was it like when you didn't get to rest when you were little? You probably were acting out left and right. It was just a hot mess. If you're caring for children, if you're a parent now, if you're a grandparent, an auntie, a cousin, an uncle, whatever it might be, we all know that children need to rest. Well, so do adults. And if you don't get that overnight period of sustained sleep and go through all the sleep stages, including deep sleep, things aren't good. And your blood sugar literally does not reset. It will tend to pin high. This is a setup, people, for prediabetes, type 2 diabetes. Next stop, stress. Stress management is really key. It's okay to have momentary stress and to have a normal response. You know, cortisol does its thing. Makes you a superhero. You could be Superwoman, Superman in that moment. When the moment's over, though, cortisol should come back down. You no longer have to deal with that immediate threat or perceived threat. You don't have to lift the car off your loved one, right? In extreme situations, it can be life-saving. But what if every day is an extreme situation and your poor body thinks you have to lift the car off a loved one all the time? There goes your blood sugar. Because what do you think cortisol is actually asking? It's priming your muscles to be amazing, taking the blood out of your gut, and it's putting it in your big skeletal muscles because you need to do stuff, right? Fight or flight or freeze. You are engaged in one of those three things, which means your blood sugar now, your glucose is available to feed those working muscles. Working muscles are blood sugar sponges. Sedentary muscles are not blood sugar sponges, to make that really clear. So your body, if you're under perceived chronic levels of high stress, your body is going to release all that extra glucose, all that extra blood sugar. It's ready for a fight, a flight, or a freeze. If you're sitting and not doing anything and otherwise upset, really stressed, where does this blood sugar go? Well, if this happens chronically, eventually your body becomes more and more efficient at storing fat than burning it. You become increasingly insulin resistant. No matter how much insulin your pancreas puts out, it's a mismatch. You're not sleeping well. Again, it's a mismatch. So all of the normal resets that should happen after the need to respond to a stressor, the sleep situation means you don't get back to normal. Then for exercise, some people are just working too hard, frankly. They're training really hard. They're doing aerobics for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And then they wonder why they can't. A really strong cortisol response. Yeah. Overworking. Yeah.
They wonder why they can't lose a pound. They have a really strong cortisol response. They are overworking. It's too much. And they wind up not even becoming fit that way because now they're not able to restore and regenerate and repair. So they wind up with more injuries and it becomes a nasty cycle. And then they wind up often, unfortunately, gaining weight despite all of this amazing effort, right? You know, you look at the effort and the focus now that professional athletes put on rest and sleep and restoration, even when they travel across time zones. That's a whole nother science. It's been fascinating to see the work that has happened for professional athletes, serious amateur athletes and Olympians. And the more they've revealed the secret sauce behind their success, and rest is one of the key things, right? So that's a big deal. So, okay, we've talked about nutrition. We talked about sleep. We talked about stress. We've talked about exercise. Strength training is key for blood sugar management. It also prevents people from being at risk for falls and for osteoporosis and other things as we age. Mm-hmm. Because those can be devastating to people when they're older. And so you build that muscle mass. You know, I used to, in the earlier days of my practice, go around to middle schools and high schools here in the San Francisco Bay Area and talk to kids about the importance of building muscles and muscle mass, especially the girls, because, you know, females tend to outlive males. I'm like, invest in yourself, children, please. Get that muscle mass. You know, listen to your PE teacher, your coaches. You don't like doing that stuff? Cool, dance. It doesn't have to be some sport thing. There's one of my nieces has sports ball. It doesn't have to be about sports balls. It could be about dance. But do something that involves those muscles. Let those working muscles be your blood sugar friends. And then finally, meal timing. Meal timing is the fifth one. The time of day you eat your meal and what you're eating during those meals really does matter. And if you would like to have blood sugar success, you got to make it so you're not dumping a heavy meal on your gut shortly before you go to bed. Give yourself at least 3 to 5 hours. For most people, that's fine. Between dinner, your last meal, and then when you go to sleep, give your gut a chance to help you. The gut is so important.
I think that's so great. It's so true, because we skip over a lot of these things because we're just normalizing where we have become dysregulated as a culture. Like that, for example, the sleep statistic I always think about is that 40% of Americans get less than 5 hours of sleep a night. And 50% of us report that we struggle with insomnia.
Yeah.
It's insane, right?
It is insane. That didn't used to be a thing.
And when you think about the quality of your decisions the whole day after not sleeping well, it just compounds, and then you get blamed for a lifestyle disease while you're getting marketed to about how you should probably stay chronically ill because that's super profitable.
It's super profitable. You know, if you watch TV at all, right, you see the ads, you see how many of the ads are for fast foods. And the fast foods are glimmering and shining, and they just look amazing. Even if you don't like what it is being advertised, it does look appealing, right? They're talking to that part of our brains, whereas bypassing those frontal lobes where we make our decisions is going right for that fast satisfaction hindbrain.
I also think they're getting smarter at marketing to us about the healthy, quote unquote, foods. Like it's still their job to sell units. Right. And so it could have like a cardboard box that feels very green, and they're kind of conflating green marketing with health food, but it's still Cheez-Its. Okay. And it might say on non-GMO, it might say no preservatives, but if you turn it over, it's still made with seed oils. It's still made with 5 different kinds of sugar. Like there's over 61 words for sugar.
That's right.
What do you tell your people, like when it comes to reading labels, what do you say to watch out for?
I give them 2 guideposts. One is when you read your labels, look for ingredients that contain actual foods. If you don't understand it, if it's a chemical, if it's a 12-syllable name that has a lot of hyphens and numbers in it, it's a distinct chemical substance. There's no food named like that. So if you can't easily recognize it, spell it, and pronounce it, it's probably not something that's good for you to eat. That's number one. Number two is to educate them about all the different ways that things are labeled, whether it's different names for sugar, different names for MSG or monosodium glutamate, other food additives that are just so irritating, food colorings, things that are just, you know, often not even items that are derived from or come from nature. They're just completely laboratory made, and often they are not helpful for human health.
Right. Including like natural flavors. That's code for MSG, guys, usually. So
get
smart.
And if their last ingredient or last 2-3 ingredients says natural flavor, what I do is I call, email, text, whatever makes sense, the company, and say, what is it? Often it's something very benign. Like it could be turmeric, but I'm like, why don't you just disclose that? They're like, oh, well, we don't want the competition. And I'm like, you know, the competition can do so much sophisticated analysis these days. They know what's in your formulation. You realize that, right? Like, this is not 1910.
So interesting.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. I got lazy about reading labels for a while because I was like, I know my stuff. I know what's up. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't feel so good. This is right after we had moved to a new city, and so my habits were disrupted.
Right.
And I started reading the labels of what I had thought I had already sorted through. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got to really take a fresh look at this stuff.
Yeah. And in taking a fresh look, friends, when you're looking at labels, notice when your favorite foods, you talk about getting disrupted, Sinclair. This brings up a great point for our habits. Many of us, we're attracted to certain brands or products because we've historically eaten them, and perhaps that was on our recovery path for our health. We've gone through this journey and we're feeling so much better. Just like she said, if you notice that you're not feeling well, you're like, wait, something changed. Reread that label. And if you see that the package has changed dramatically, like they've rebranded, or that's often a time when they also reformulate, which means you really need to be diligent about revisiting and rereading those labels and being sure that what's on that label is in the package and is in agreement with you.
Such a good point. I mean, 5 companies own most of the food production and distribution in the entire world. That's crazy. And so Nestle has been buying up health brands, whether it's supplements or health food, like crazy for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And they often reformulate and they whittle things down to the bottom line and they make it just a little bit more addictive and just a little bit more neurotoxic.
Yeah. These things really are neurotoxic, and these have profound effects. I've often wondered how many people wind up with divorces, a loss of major relationships, major friendships, how many people are fired or are barely employed because they feel so bad, so toxic from the crap they've been eating or drinking. And they have no idea that they're being poisoned on a regular basis. So of course your blood sugar is not right. Of course your gut doesn't feel good. Of course your head hurts, your joints ache, your mood is crap, on and on.
Well, you are speaking my love language right now. You know it.
All right. We are on that path. We are just trying to help people, Sinclair. This is what we're here for.
Yeah. And the more we wake up to how the deck has been just a little bit stacked against us, and we're sort of rats in a maze here, like how much can we make them buy? The more we can take back control of our own destiny.
Exactly.
So I want to zoom back out with you for a second and look at, what do you think we haven't covered that's really important for people to know about the myths that persist about diabetes?
Yeah. You know, I think what's really important to know around these myths is, despite how common issues are with blood sugar, there are literally tens and tens of millions of people here in this country and hundreds of millions of people around the world who have diabetes, whether it's type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes. Type 3 diabetes is what we consider the precursor to Alzheimer's, a subtype of dementia, right? So whatever the blood sugar issues could be. And in fact, we can even span this category, metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, PCOS, right? Polycystic ovarian syndrome, something that women sometimes are affected by. These are all blood sugar sensitive concerns. I think the biggest myth is that people feel so alone, despite how common this problem is. People feel really isolated with it. Sometimes people feel are being blamed. They feel like they are supposed to be ashamed. That should never be true for any illness. Let me just say that clearly. I don't blame or shame anyone ever for whatever the issue is that they're struggling with. And I really wish other people would get off their soapboxes and stop being so damn judgmental, because it's not helpful. That's not healing. Being judgmental is not healing. It's not helpful ever. There's other ways to talk to or encourage people around their health that are helpful and useful. But blaming and shaming is not it, right? So with that isolation piece, what I find, Sinclair, is a lot of people struggle with their meal choices, with sleep, going to bed on time, getting up on time, getting their sleep habits and sleep hygiene dialed in, managing stress and feeling like they have safe, healthy, effective ways to relieve stress, being consistent with exercise and being able to build in that muscle mass, the strength training that's so important here, the timing of their meals, what are they eating for their foods? And the way we break through that is with what I call vitamin L, vitamin love, which is community, not doing these things in isolation. We as humans are social, even the most introverted of us. I'm an introvert. Sinclair, I've gotten to know you better. You are too. Even those of us who are introverted, we still are social animals as humans. We have a certain amount of social interaction and connection that is so vital for our own health and well-being. And in that, I really think one key thing that needs to happen in terms of engagement and making a difference around diabetes is consciously, intentionally creating communities where people who have the problem can come together and be able to say what it is they're working on, what a success is, what's a win, what's a struggle, where they're confused, where they have something to share, and simply be accepted and acknowledged. Not judged, not blamed, not shamed, and not shunned. I think that would be a great opportunity for healing.
That sounds amazing. And I know that you're really dedicated to building that experience for people. In fact, you've got a summit coming up right now, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. It starts.
Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It starts Monday, July 25th and runs all the way through Sunday, July 31st. It's called the Diabetes Transformation Summit. And in there, we're looking to invite people to come check out the summit. Kindly, if you would, as you listen to this podcast or whatever other material, however you got information here, share this with people. So many folks are struggling with their blood sugar. Let's help them end the struggle and get on the path to transforming wherever they may be, because this summit is designed to meet people where they are at and help them get to where they want to go. It's designed both for the person who has the problem, someone struggling with their blood sugar, or maybe they're thriving with their blood sugar and they just want to have new ideas, find out what's the latest and greatest. It's all been curated and put together. These are actual experts speaking on this summit. And Sinclair Canale is one of my experts, which is so great. In fact, she's live on day 2 of this summit, July 26th. Please check it out. Be sure to check out her particular session, all the other recordings. And if you want to have 24/7 convenient access, you can purchase the content as well. That way it's there for you. Your access won't go away then when it ends July 31st. you can make it a gift for other people. I've seen people do both. And however that best works for you, this diabetes thing, this blood sugar explosion we're having around the world, we all have to be partners together and help each other with living those healthier lives full of the quality, the zest, and the joy that we all deserve. And our blood sugar is a key element here.
Well, you know, I love your approach, how you are so data-driven and your eyes are wide open about how the food and the medical industries have sort of set us up to fail and how to make this a doable pathway back to who we really are with so much love.
A doable
pathway.
Thank you
so much for being here with us today, hon.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.